2022 Municipal Utility Commission to order. And as it is right now, we do a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay. I think we'll recognize that we do not have a quorum today, but John has one or two items he would like to bring up.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Dubay. The only item that I want to bring up is just a reminder that for our policymakers dinner hosted or put on by Missouri River on September 20th, registration has to be in tomorrow. So I just want to ask, is everybody able to make it? I know we sent one to you, an invite as well, so we can get that. So it's plate service, so they're looking for a head count. So, all right, I see everybody's head shaking, so we'll register all four that are in attendance here today. That was the only thing that I wanted clarification on, Commissioner Dubay. Thank you.
Okay. And I guess with that, we would need to recess this meeting to a time certain. Would that be right, Mr. Scott?
Yes, Mr. Chair, the commission, since you've convened this meeting without a quorum, you can announce the date, time, and location to which the meeting will be continued, and that would satisfy any notice requirements for that continued meeting.
So what we need to do is determine what works for the individuals here, and hopefully we'll be able to have a quorum. Those that aren't here, hopefully we will have at least one of those individuals that can make that time we set here today. So we're thinking,
I guess there's
Friday, maybe.
Been suggested 11:45 on Friday the 16th. Does that work?
If we could go earlier, it would be helpful. What the timing sequencing that we need to work around is if our minutes, in order for these projects to move forward, needs to be ratified by the city council. And we need to have these minutes to the city council. Well, typically they like them by Wednesday, so 2 days. But we will reach out to the city council and make sure that they keep a placeholder for us so that the council approves our minutes, which in turn then will approve our projects and our bill payments and the remainder of our business. So, Commissioner.
That's good. Beth, I have on here a meeting for the planning committee at noon on Friday.
Correct.
That is correct.
That'll be enough to fit in.
Well, we would do a regular commission meeting and do the planning committee.
Meeting following?
Following.
All right.
So, yeah, the earlier the better, whatever works for the commission. But as Commissioner Muskie noted, we do have, Commissioner Baumgartz may or may not be aware of that, but we have a planning commission meeting or a planning committee meeting set up for Friday to talk about financing of our water treatment plant. And that is scheduled to start at 12. But we can push that back if 12 o'clock or 11:45 works for the commission meeting. We'll just move the planning committee meeting back if it works for the planning committee. So
I'm open.
Otherwise, we can go earlier Friday morning as well. But Friday would be the latest date that we can have this meeting.
Yes, the only question is if you want to have it earlier than the 11:45 time.
No.
I can make
that. I'm available most of Friday.
Yep, so am I.
Okay, so can we go to 11, hopefully, maybe by 12 or close to complete, and we can roll into our planning committee meeting at 12:15, 12:30, because we need time. Beth needs time to get the minutes done and get them over to the city as well on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So
11 o'clock on
Friday? I think 11 would work for me.
11 will work? Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Scott, would you be available on Friday at 11 o'clock?
Yes, I would be available at that time.
Okay. And with that, we'll recess this meeting until Friday, September 16th at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
All right.
Do we need a motion and a second for that, or no, we can't do that?
Just, Mr. Chair, just simply announcing the date and time of the continued meeting, which you have done, is sufficient, so you as chair can just adjourn the meeting until that time of the continued meeting.
Okay. Thank you. We'll adjourn this meeting until recess this meeting.
Recess at that time.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. Open the meeting. This meeting is a continuation of our September 12th meeting. So I guess we'll open with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I think you can stay sitting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Yes, are there any changes or additions to the agenda? If not, is there approval for the consent agenda?
One second.
Second? Is there a second?
Second.
All right, any questions on the, that would include the minutes from our August 22nd meeting, and then also, you know, any questions on the bills? The amount of $1,269,416.90, so. If there are no questions on the bills, can we do a roll call?
Certainly. Commissioner Kadar?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
I can just go over this, I guess, too.
Okay. Moving on to item number 4. Approval of the August 25th Planning Committee, that would be Commissioner Muskie.
Yes, we met on the 25th. Our sole item on that 25th meeting was the proposed 2023 WMU budget. We had a great budget presentation from Finance and Office Services Supervisor Precker and General Manager Heron. We had a lot of discussion about a lot of the points. Of course, we went through the projected revenues, operating expenses, the capital budget, and cash flows. And I suppose we just had a little conversation that I think that we were waiting for some of the bid openings, and so we'll get an update on how the budget has been modified because of those. But for this purposes, I guess I would say I'd move to approve the minutes.
I'll second that.
And there's a second. Any questions on the minutes from that? If not, all those in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
We need a resolution.
Opposed, same sign. So changed.
We need a resolution.
Okay. Now we have a request for approval of the 2023 budget. Andrea, are you taking that?
Yep, I'll go over the changes from the Planning Committee meeting.
Thank you.
So with the electric cash flow statement, the only change was the power plant cleanup. We did have bid openings that afternoon, and that bid came in $4.4 million is what the new budget is on here. And it was $4.73 million. And if you want to go to the water, and here's the water statement of cash flows. The bid opening for the Northeast Water Treatment Plant project came in at $19.35 million in the budget here, and it was at $26.55 million. So With that, we also changed the amount of reserves we'll be using. So the bond amount here is $16.6 million versus the $23.7 million, and we're using $3 million in reserves towards that. With the change in the bond amount, that changed the bond payment principal and interest amount. That payment changed from $2,964,716 to $2,072,181. So that dropped that payment $892,000. Which also changes the reserve amount we have on top, because that was one bond payment amount. With those changes, the rate increases that we need to make this cash flow statement work have been updated to, in 2023, that 20% rate increase stayed, that remained. In 2024, we changed that to a 15% rate increase. And in 2025, and that was a 20 previously. 2025 was a 20%, we changed that to a 7% increase. And in 2026, it was a 5%, and it still is a 5% increase. So that is the changes from the Planning Committee meeting.
And would you be so kind to point out the bottom line of cash flow, what that means, what does our bottom line look like over that 10-year window, please?
Yes, so the bottom line was, assuming 5% throughout the remainder of the years, that bottom line at the end of that 10 years is $13.5 million, right about where we're at this year. That was kind of the goal, to keep it at that amount.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
I think we should be twirling around in our chairs for that.
I was going to say, I'd almost speak for on behalf of the Planning Committee, that the numbers that have been flushed out after the bid openings are amazing good news. Instead of doing that 20% on water for multiple years, seeing that regression is very nice. And I think people that are our customers should be very pleased with, because that's going to be a very big difference in what you have to pay. So very happy to hear it.
There'll be some strong talking points when the consumer jumps us in, and
exactly,
you know, what's going on with the water.
Exactly. I think if we can maintain those rates, we'll be looking very good in over the next few years. So. At the 2023 budget is, we need a motion for a resolution to approve that budget.
I'd introduce the resolution to approve the 2023 WMU budget.
Second.
Okay. Any further questions on that budget? Not? No. Roll call, Beth.
Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Wammer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Still, any questions on the cash flow? We're on to item five, award bids of for the financial projects. I'm going to take those. Kevin, let's see, yeah.
Thank you.
Be the power plant demo.
Yes, for the power plant demo, per Bronze memo, we would concur to award the bid to Rachel Contracting out of, where are they out of, I'm sorry.
St. Michael.
St. Michael, yes. Bids came in a little bit under budget, which we're happy to see. And Bron has vetted out Rachel's bid and checked background references, everything checks out good, and we're quite comfortable with them moving forward. So we request that we enter in the contract with them at the $3.6 million and change.
And they can meet the timetables and...
Correct.
All that, and we're in the bid spec?
Yes.
And I haven't written, there it is. And all the stuff that we took off didn't cause any difference?
No, there's still a couple minor things that we need to pull out yet, some nameplates, things like that, but otherwise, we were quite pleased with the bids we received. Ended up getting 4 total bids out of roughly 20-plus contractors that showed up, and yeah, we're very happy with the results.
I assume this is a resolution, and I would offer a resolution to approve the bid for the power plant demo to Rachel Construction.
There a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further questions on the power plant demo? No.
Okay. Commissioner Erickson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Next bid award would be for Northeast Water Treatment Plant. General Manager Hart, are you on?
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. They were equally as pleased, as you heard with Andrew, with the budget, the reduction of cost from what their engineer's estimate was and what we were expecting. Basically, the prices came in based on what the engineer had estimated about two and a half years ago, what the project was going to cost us, so we're very pleased with it. Successful contractor there is Girder Construction out of Buffalo. They've done a lot of work in the area. Bolton and Mink Corolla is very familiar with them. They're very pleased with their work performance, and here too they're recommending that we move forward with a little bit of Girder Construction. So with that said, I'd be more than pleased to answer any additional questions. Otherwise, we would look for approval of Girder's contract.
Mr. Muskie?
Yeah, I just have the question on the alternative one. Are we doing that for sure, or is that still going to be an alternate?
No, I'm sorry. Excellent question, Commissioner Muskie. Staff's recommendation that we just move forward as a lump sum. The recommendation is prepared as such, and the reason that we're not going to move forward with the alternate, the sodium hypochlorinate generation, twofold. One is cost, and two, we still need to deal with all the chlorine because we still have chlorine at our other treatment plant. When we put a bid project together, and through the entire time when we were looking, studying this project and studying alternatives to the project, we looked at the sodium hypochlorinate generation on site, as that's a trend of where things are going. So we bid it as an alternate, and the reason we bid it as an alternate so we could study costs as well as you know, looking at the benefit of it. Like I said, we got chlorine at the other place, so we still, even if we put in the hypochlorinate generation here, we still have all our RMPs, which is all our risk management documentation, policies, filings that we have to do. So when we look at the cost for adding that now, in addition to still having to maintain all our chlorine protocols, we feel that we're better off waiting until the Northeast plant is renovated and included at that time for both plants. So that's kind of staff's vision for the on-site chlorination.
Is there any chance that price would be significantly different by waiting versus doing it now?
One only knows.
Yeah. It's not substantial, say?
No.
Because, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of the process.
We actually, as far as design goes, our plant is going to be designed, our building is going to be built to accommodate the addition. Okay. So the only thing that we got to do is bring the equipment in and plug it in, basically.
So
though. We're designing to accommodate, and the real reason, well, money's always a factor, but equally as important is the extra work that we still have because we have chlorine on site at the other plant. So by keeping it in this plant, it adds no additional, you know, annual work to staff here.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Any further questions about the well field?
How soon will they start working?
How soon? Soon we get contracts in place. Yeah.
Monday.
Monday. excellent question, Commissioner Lamar. However, usually contracts will probably take 60 days before they're in place, before everything's executed, before the insurances are in place, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you won't see a lot, for sure not for 60 days.
Are they anticipate winter construction at all with it, or?
Yeah, they'll be working through winter. No. Construction period is estimated at about 18 months right now, so year and a half.
Okay. I'll introduce the resolution to approve the Northeast Water Treatment Plant contract to Gridor Construction, Inc. out of Buffalo.
And I'll second that.
You second?
Okay.
Okay. No further questions? Let's do a...
Commissioner Lamar?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Lesky?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to item number six, monthly financial reports. Andrea?
All right, so beginning with electric for the month of July. The revenue for commodity sales are down approximately $357,000 from last year. Expenses are down about $274,000 from last year, leaving the retained earnings down about $297,000. Water division for July, after we factor in that 5% rate increase for this year, those revenues are down about $117,000 from where we'd expect them to be. Expenses are up about $160,000 and retained earnings down about $151,000. When we look at that combined, the retained earnings are down about $448,000. And the following page would be your graphs with all the comparisons. And moving on to the investment portfolio for July, month-end value about $44,739,000, and nothing significant to note for that month. And cost of power for July was just under 8 cents, and that is typical for this time of year, so no concerns there.
Questions of Maria on the financials? Okay, thank you. Wind turbine report.
Thank you. As you can see in August, July, August are typically our least windy months, or one of some of the few. So the two turbines, approximately 92 and 93% availability, combined for 298,933 total kilowatt hours. So if you flip to the next page, you can see that that's actually right in the middle of the five-year average, right around that 300,000. Year-to-date, 5,618,081, so we are knocking on the door of 2018 and setting our sights on 2021 if we have a good September. Currently, the guys are performing annual maintenance usually lasts about 2.5 weeks or so. One turbine is about 90% complete, and they'll start on, finish that one up early next week and then start on the second unit, so.
Okay. Is that annual maintenance inspection, the turbine is shut down during that time period?
Typically, yes. They'll be shut down during the working day and then they fire it up, so it'll run overnight. It's not very common that we have it down for multiple days unless there's a major component replacement. They try and schedule it so they can, so it's available in the evenings, so.
Okay. We are not seeing any major, any problems coming up with those that during the inspection, like.
You had to say that loud.
Lades were, anything like that?
No, just so far this year, we're just seeing normal. They've had to replace some bladders in the blades, which is a little bit more extensive work. Things that are challenges right now are finding components again. Some of these companies are just not the breakers, for example, that control the trips of the tower. The breakers that we have in use right now have fairly high counts on them. We have two spare units on the shelf with the same high counts. We replaced them at about this time. We had one fail this past week. We've been searching for about 3.5 months now for replacements of those, and the only place they come from is the factory in Germany, so we're dealing with trying to get a bid on those. So those are some of the things that we're experiencing now as the turbines get even older and less removed from the company being in existence. Our gentleman in Germany that has monitored the turbines for us since inception retired and closed that business. He was able to offer those licenses to our staff and engineering. So we purchased that last month, so we have that in-house now. But it's just another one of those little pieces where that support is kind of slipping away. So we keep our fingers crossed. So thanks for jinxing that. See how things go.
Any further questions? Turbines? Okay.
Thank you.
Item number 8, request approval of CapEx 2020 transmission investment.
All right, thank you, Commissioner DeBlake. A little summary in your packet and the agenda. Back in 2011, 2012, the utility made an investment with CMMPA, Central Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, as their members, along with a couple additional members like Wilmer, took part in that CapEx build-out known as the Brookings Line. However, CapEx line was built, as most of the lines, CapEx lines, are built with one circuit. You probably notice on the pole there's only wire on one side and the other arm is hanging there with nothing on. So they're going to string that second line. And Compass has the money in the bank to do it, so they're not requiring any money. They just need for all the members that invested in the first phase of it to support Compass investing and taking part in the stringing of the second circuit. So no money needed from us, just the support, just concurring with their request to take part in that investment.
Okay. Any questions on CapEx project, how that is?
That was a good investment, correct?
When you talk about the investment, if you recall, or if you want to go back up to the July 31, 2022 investment portfolio, way on the bottom of the page, it's CapEx transmission project. That is a project that we're talking about. Back then, the utility invested $549,000, some odd change. Today, we received $430,000 back, so we still have outstanding about $83,000. So.
Yeah, and that would be a resolution to approve our participation in that investment, so.
I'll make that resolution to continue to participate in the.
Your second?
CapEx.
I'll move second.
Okay. And a second, if there are no more questions, well, Beth, you want a roll call?
Certainly. Commissioner Bumgarth?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Lammer?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Recap of the MMUA Annual Summer Conference. Who's first? Want to go first?
I remember back when I was to the big conference, I gave the report and Mr. DeBleek didn't have to. This time, that he would give the approval or give the report on me. All I can say right off the top of my head is. For the summer conference. It was a good conference. I forwarded, I think I just did that to John, a speaker that spoke beforehand, and the topics were very relevant. But right off the top of my head, I can't give you any more information than that. If you want more, I'll put it in writing. Okay. Bruce and John, they'll take care of it for me this time.
See, it has been a little while since we've been to that there, so. I've got is, you know, it was a three-day conference, started on a Monday evening with a welcoming reception and the like, which was very good. There was, on Tuesday morning, we had a keynote speaker, Jim Harris. He comes out of, he was out of Toronto, Canada. He was a very good speaker. He talked about various times and innovations coming up in the utility industry. Spent a lot of time talking about how things progress and change from one thing to the next, and he had had talked about electric car vehicles, Tesla being one that is very rapidly becoming more valuable than what GM is. They're exponentially, Tesla is overtaking almost any other car manufacturer in the country. They'll be producing more vehicles than GM, Ford, and the other major ones combined with electric vehicles. So they're expecting to see you know, a tenfold increase in the EV vehicles versus the internal combustion vehicles. So that was one part that was kind of, if that comes about, it kind of enlightening as far as what's happening in the automotive industry. And the green power industry is all looking at about the same as well. So, but they had some roundtable discussions, which was something different that was done at this conference versus when they had various topics set up that you could move to about 12 different tables and discuss various topics. You know, we had SCADA monitoring that was put on by the Mark Colon, and I think that's who does our monitoring here for SCADA. And went to a broadband opportunities one that was discussed, not like Buffalo has their own broadband and put in their own fiber to each one of their residents' house, and it is run by the utility. And I think they lease space out to various companies to use the fiber, but the utility is the one that owns and manages that fiber. And so, the last day there was a, had a recap from a Jim Reed. He was a former fighter pilot and business leader. He gave a very inspirational talk about leadership and strengths and 12 points of the leadership. So, but I guess there was much what I have in my notes. Want to add anything to it, or
sure.
Into that, John?
Well, I can do that. Thank you, Commissioner DeBlake. I'll pick up where Commissioner DeBlake left off on our last speaker there. When you talk about, you know, driving successful change, you talked about five principles of successful leadership, and one's ability to simplify complicated situations, being passionate about what you do, making sure that you have the right people on a team, that they're passionate, that, you know, you have passionate people on the bus, that those individuals, that they're fully engaged, that they, you know, want to be there, that they are passionate, and that everyone is disciplined. So those are kind of what he titled as the five principles of successful leaders, which, you know, if we think about it, we all know that there's, you know, a lot said there with those five principles, because if you have those principles there, you're going to have a successful team and a successful organization. So we'll look back up the agenda there, a couple other things. And we had a couple of breakout sessions there, the utility management track, talk about the infrastructure and investment jobs. We're hearing a lot of that in the news the last, you know, month here, 6 weeks, we're hearing that in the news. So what does that mean for us? How does that affect us? Well, when you break it down, the speaker, when he breaks it down, there's $2.3 billion that's allocated to preventing outage and enhancing resilience of the electrical grid. Out of that $2.3 billion, Minnesota will get $6 million of that. Out of that $6 million, 40% is allocated to federal and disadvantaged community, federal projects and disadvantaged communities. So when you break the dollars down for like Wilmer Utilities, there's not a lot of dollars there to go after, and being that there are so few dollars, it would be very competitive. So when you hear a lot about the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, that's kind of the breakdown on the impact that it will have on the utility sector. Electrical vehicle charging, as they talk about that, you know, the new F-150s, they talk about what it's going to take. They take 100-amp circuits to charge, and that's becoming more and more common on all vehicles, or different vehicles, not just the Ford F-150s. The roundtables discussion that I had taken in, we all tried to split up a little bit, take different ones in. I took in the Conservation Improvement Program, actually energy reduction, and some possibilities on how you can reduce. Learned a few new things there that might qualify for it on how we do business here. And also cash reserve policy was put on by Baker Tilly. Baker Tilly is who we typically use for financing. They talked about cash flows, needs, reserves. Basically, rule of thumb is about 50% of one year's revenue is what they start at in their recommendations for reserves for a utility. And then Detroit Lakes, they gave an overview of their community solar project that they had offered, and so far they're pleased with the success of the program. And they basically pre-market the program, and they built it to fit the needs of the requests of those that wanted to take part in it. So, other than that, appreciate the opportunity to be there. Always good information, always something that is beneficial that we can bring back home and utilize back here. So, thank you.
Thank you.
right. Let's say I did get, I'll pass it around. This is from Jim Harris, is, did a magazine article that he put together. Had some interesting information in it. That's pretty much what his whole presentation or talk about was, so. Okay.
On that Jim that spoke, one thing he used, like Bruce said, used how cars came to be, and they showed it. He showed down the street, and it was 1905, I think, was the first picture of horse-drawn carts, and there was maybe one car. And then by 1913, there was cars and only one, you know, horse-drawn cart. And so use that as an example to what's happening in the electric world. And I don't have the exact figures on how fast, exponentially, that it's going, but it's going faster than that. That really brings a point home to a person when you, or to me at least, when you see that, because it's going much faster than that with the electric cars, and you know, it's a reality. And then the other stunning thing to me was to buy a battery. Holy cow, it's thousands of dollars to buy a battery for one of those electric cars. I mean, it's not for the weak-hearted, or, you know, not very many pennies in their pocket, because, man, I love it. That's my contribution. Thank you.
The other thing you mentioned, too, like the, trying to recall this, the number of moving parts in a gas-powered vehicle was like, what was it, 5,000-6,000 parts versus an electric vehicle is like just over a couple hundred.
20. Electric vehicle, he said, was 20.
20, yeah.
20 moving parts in an electric vehicle.
Yeah, so just when you look at maintenance, you know, moving parts is what you're usually replacing, and you go from several thousand to 20. There's just not a whole lot of maintenance or breakdown with these those electric vehicles. So. Okay. I have a little pamphlet on the conference. If anybody wants to take a look through that, you're welcome to. Mm-hmm. So, right. It was just appreciate allowing us to attend. It was a good 3 days up there. So, okay. General manager's report.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner DeBlake. First item on there is following this meeting is our planning committee meeting. We'll be talking about financing of our water treatment plant, along with generation opportunity and transmission investment. Also, next week, Tuesday, we have our Missouri Policymakers Dinner. Beth has everyone on the commission signed up for that, so hopefully that works for everyone, that you're able to be there. It's in town, it's local, at a very high level. You'll pick up a lot of good information in a short period of time, and on top of that, you'll get a good dinner, so can't go wrong. We've also invited Representative Baker, Senator Lang, to our September 26th meeting to give us a legislative update. At this point, Representative Baker has confirmed we're still waiting, I believe, on Senator Lang.
Or I haven't heard anything yet.
So we're still waiting on Senator Lang, but we know we'll have Baker here for sure. And other than that, if there's any additional questions, we'd be more than pleased to field them.
And the dinner is out at Grand?
At the Oaks.
Oh, the Oaks, okay.
Yep. So Eagle Creek.
Mm-hmm. Starts at 5:15, so we should be wrapped up by 8:15.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other thing else anybody wants to bring up, or miscellaneous? So if not,
move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. We're adjourned.